Speaking with Teron Davenport now, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com, covering the Titans. Also talking with TD is his podcast. You should check it out every week, and you can hear it on these airwaves on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday morning, Teron Davenport is with us. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What did you learn this weekend from the Titans? What was your takeaway?
What did I learn? I don't think I really learned anything. I just got to continue to observe. I could say I learned something. Christian Fulton is a guy they really seem to trust a lot more than I initially thought they would. It kind of reminds me of Amani Hooker last year, and that they were so willing to give him such a more involved role as a rookie than typically expected. So if you want to say something I learned, I could probably say that.
A guy that they're willing to trust from the get-go, or do you think it's going to take time?
From the get-go. I think really it's just something that was acquired throughout the process of the virtual virtual meetings that they have. Mm-hmm. That's something I think that he really showed and proved himself, you know, coming up to the time where it's time to go on the field, and you're starting to see some results now.
What about a guy like Trevor Siemian? They bring in a veteran backup quarterback. They get rid of Cole McDonald. So you've got Logan Woodside with no experience, Trevor Siemian with a reasonable amount of experience as a starter in this league. How do you think he's progressing early on in Titans camp?
Siemian has come along because one of the things that obviously as a new quarterback, you're trying to acclimate, you know, get acclimated to a new offense. But fortunately for him, and this is something that I talked about on Talking with TD last week, the good thing for him is that they have a similar scheme to what he ran with the Broncos under Gary Kubiak. So there is somewhat carryover. The terminology obviously is different, but the concepts are very similar. So that definitely helps when it comes to learning. The thing that impressed me about Siemian is that first practice he was out there, I saw him make a couple checks. Now, granted, one of the checks ended up being a disaster. The defense blew the play up. But just to have that confidence to go out there and make those checks that quickly, I thought that was really telling. And it's probably better for them that they have a guy with experience, you know, backing up Tannehill just in case something should happen. You don't have as much of the question mark as you would with Logan Woodside, who, as you know, I've said all offseason, you know, was going to be the backup because that's what we were getting from Coach Vrabel and from John Robinson.
Yeah. It is interesting how that thing changed in a hurry. Speaking of something I just thought of, isn't this Friday the debut? You got something you're debuting this week? Is this week the week you bring out your co-host this season?
Yeah, it's coming out Friday night. We're going to have the Nate and TD show. Nate Washington and I are going to make it happen, give you an hour of power, you know, talking a little shop. Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show. And then I also have something else going on talking with TD. We're going to have a segment going, not with Nate Washington. I'll go ahead and announce that on the show with that segment, but that's going to be during the season too. So we have some good things going on.
All right. So this Friday, check that out. Friday starting at what time?
I believe it's going to be 7 o'clock. Okay. We're working out the final details, but okay. I will just say Friday night for now.
Okay, when we get the final details, we'll certainly pass that along. What do you think Nate Washington would say about Khalif Raymond?
Oh, he would appreciate his routes. Actually, we've talked about that, and that's something that Khalif Raymond is definitely showing. I like to post those low red zone 7-on-7 periods and even 1-on-1, and especially 1-on-1, you really see his route definition and his ability to just he'll get in and out of the breaks and sell a route in that shorter, condensed space. And that's something that Nate and I talk about, and he really appreciates that from Khalif Raymond. So that's the feedback that he would give you.
6 o'clock Friday, guys, for
6
Nate
o'clock,
and
all right, yep. 6 to 7. There you go,
there
just like
is.
That, finalized.
6 to 7, then 7 p.m., you know what else is playing.
Talking with TD.
Look at that, 2 hours.
Two hours of me.
I know. I like it. Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN, talking all things Titans with him. Enjoyed watching that practice on Friday. Since I filled in for Jared, I was able to go to a practice during the day. I thought it was cool, TD, how they made it as game-like as they possibly could with the crowd noise and the PA announcer. Do you expect more things like that? How important is it for Mike Vrabel to get his guys acclimated to what it's going to be like in a very unique season?
Yeah, I think you'll see a few more, or maybe one or two more practices like that. And it is important because guys are creatures of habit, you know, and one of the things that a lot of people overlook about football players specifically is when you're done playing, like sometimes things can unravel a bit because that schedule that you have, that regimen is what keeps you in order, right? So guys are always striving to find that schedule, that regimen. And one way to do that is to have these practices where they are able to go over to the stadium and just get used to how the pre-game situation evolves and just how everything works from that way, because everything to the almost minute is scripted, you know, and that's something that guys really appreciate and they need. So that's definitely important. And then also just to get used to just being, you know, in the stadium or playing in the stadium. There's differences as far as, you know, how things look, obviously, and just how things play out. So it'll be big for them.
I ask this because, and I know fans are, you know, they wish they could be there and seeing some of the things that we do, but you're so, I say, hands-on because you see things a little differently. You played the game. You like to be able to watch things up close. So how, and I know that you've been able to be on the field some for practice and see it that way, but how has this adjustment been for you as you do your job and your unique style of reporting?
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult because you're not getting that one-on-one time with the guys. And then also you always have to keep your distance. Like I like to kind of not get into the drills, but like get closer to the drills and listen to the back and forth that they're having. That's always good to, you know, pick up some of the coaching points that they're giving out. And that's something that is obviously different this year. But I will say better than most teams, the Titans, and, you know, I tip my cap to the whole staff, Robbie and, you know, Kim Smith and everybody, man, Dwight, Puff, they all have done an excellent job of making sure that, you know, we still get players, right, and we still get suitable access. So I definitely appreciate that.
So obviously reports come out over the weekend. Isaiah Wilson left the bubble, went to a party. Mike Vrabel did bring it up yesterday. He said they've talked to him. It's been addressed. It's been handled. Going to be an internal thing, but a lesson for a young player of in a time where things aren't normal, and I know it's his rookie year, but have to be careful.
Yeah, you definitely have to be careful. You have to think about how it's bigger than just you, and that's what Coach Vrabel emphasized yesterday when he was asked about it. It's bigger than just the individual, right? It goes to your teammate and then the rest of the people in the organization and your teammates' family. So it extends, like that web is very extensive, and you have to respect that and understand that. And I think, you know, it's going to be a lesson learned for Isaiah Wilson. And obviously it was poor judgment. He's a young kid. That doesn't excuse it, but you know, you have to learn to think more down the line for your actions. And that's something that it just comes with time. And you know, hopefully for his sake, he gets that right now.
Talking to Teron Davenport about the Titans here, you were just talking about Khalif Raymond. I think we're all becoming huge fans of his, and if he can take it to another level and be more than just a deep threat and a guy that can add some of those short and intermediate routes, that's a great sign. How would you look at the rest of the wide receiver depth chart? But below, let's say that right now we have Raymond as that fourth guy, that wild card that can get down the field. If we know that you got Humphreys, you've obviously got AJ, and you've got Corey Davis, what does it look like below those guys? And I'm specifically wondering about the role that has been vacated by Tajae Sharp.
Yeah, and that's something that I've said a few times that I think Christian Wilkerson will work into. But I have to say this, Cody Hollister has really impressed me over the last couple of days, especially yesterday. And one of the things that is always good to see is when a player identifies something that he has to improve, improves it, and it shows on the football field. And he's become a better route runner. You know, he's a taller guy, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere along those lines. And it's naturally harder for him to get in and out of his breaks. But I tell you what, man, they did one-on-ones, you know, from like the 10-yard line in, and he had a couple really nice routes and some nice catches along the boundary, you know, that ended up being, in my opinion, the highlight of the one-on-one period. So I think he's the guy that could step in and be that guy. You also have Nick Westbrook Ikhine from Indiana, and he's an undrafted free agent. Very big kid, and he's someone else that has kind of stepped up, made some plays. And Krishan Hogan, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, out of Stanford. He's another one that has come in. So they have, you know, a couple options there size-wise. Christian Wilkerson has kind of cooled off over the last two practices, but, I mean, he's still a kid that I think will be in the mix. But I just really can't wait to see how that whole situation evolves. But I think it's going to be among those three guys to fill that Tajae Sharpe role. Obviously, Hollister is going to have the advantage because he was here last year and he has another year under his belt. He's a bit bigger than Wilkerson, so we'll see how it works out.
Darrington Evans was under the microscope because he got off to a bad start. He had a couple fumbles early. A lot of people fixated on that. How has he responded since that happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was just something that it happens in practice from time to time. And he shook it off, right? And that's one of the things when he was asked about it, you know, he just said that it's something that you got to work through. And obviously Mike Vrabel was happy about it. Darrington Evans was off yesterday, but he's a guy that, you know, he got the carries during practice. He's getting a good workload and he's fine. I don't think it's an issue that he's keeping with him. I mean, you can't carry a bad play to the next play, let alone a bad play to the next day. So I think he understands that.
Teron, I was watching Hard Knocks and they had action. It was great. It was a lower round draft pick. He was a linebacker. I don't remember his name, but they had a feature on him, and he was trying to, during a drill, make sure he was doing all the right things, lining up correctly, picking up the person he's supposed to pick up, making the right read on the play. I'm curious with Evans how well he's picking up some of those things that are so important with the blitz pickups, when you're supposed to do this or that, those little things that can get you on the field and allow you to showcase, you know, what you bring to the table as a player.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something I actually wanted to go over with Arthur Smith, the OC, when he's on later today. But it seems like I haven't really seen any hang-ups. But there haven't really been a real focus on that. So it's hard for me to say how he's picking it up. That's exactly why I wanted to ask about it. So we're definitely on the same page there. And, I mean, that's one way that you get that trust of the coaching staff to protect that investment. You know, on third downs, you have to be able to block. And when I say that investment, I'm talking about your $100 million quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Last one for me, Teron. There's certainly some different personnel in the secondary, a lot of personnel that they feel really good about. But there's that role definition that I think they've been really good at utilizing the past couple of years, figuring out what guys can do well, what they need to maybe be protected from some. How is that role definition coming along, especially with guys like Jonathan Joseph being mixed in there?
Yeah, I think it's coming along really well. And that's one of the things about Christian Fulton that I'm liking. You're seeing him match up with Adam Humphries, and, you know, it's a pretty good back and forth, which is really good because, you know, Adam Humphries is among the better slot receivers, you know, when it comes to route running in the league. So that's a good thing for Fulton to get practice there. Joseph is rotating in. Dory Jackson, I like what they're doing also just as far as in one-on-ones. They're making sure that Dory Jackson and Malcolm Butler get reps against Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. So they're matching them up that way too. So it's really good. And Kareem Moore is making a little bit of a mark as well. He had an interception a couple of days ago, and then he had a solid period, one of the standouts in one-on-ones yesterday. So they're doing a good job with the cornerbacks, getting everything defined. I really like how they're rotating Amani Hooker in there and getting him looks in single high and in the box. Dane Cruikshank was off yesterday, but they're getting him looks too. So they're doing a really good job not just featuring Kevin Vaccaro and Kenny Vaccaro and Kevin Byard. Sorry about that. It was a
a wasp flying near me, so I lost my train of thought. But there,
watch out for that.
I'm allergic, so you know what I mean.
Me too. I know what exactly.
That'll get
what
your
you
attention.
So yeah, I mean, between those two guys, you know, those guys are the obvious ones, but they're doing a good job of featuring other guys as well.
As we wrap this up, how do you think that discussion went behind closed doors with Isaiah Wilson?
I think it was very firm. I think it was, you know, one that said we're not playing these games, and I think it was appropriate. That's the type of conversation that was needed, because you can't have this stuff. And I think Mike Vrabel really made sure and reiterated the culture there about the team and how it's bigger than just one person. So I think that's how it went.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Good stuff as always. Enjoy practice, and we'll talk to you soon. You have a great week.
I appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
2-hour window on Friday starting at 6 o'clock. Teron Davenport and former Titans wide receiver and Steelers wide receiver Nate Washington from 6 to 7, and then talking with TD from 7 until 8 o'clock. So 2 hours on Friday night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good football discussion. We'll come back. Predators have some news. Titans have some news. There's actually a lot of news. We'll get into that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.